The Ozarks at Large podcast is made possible by KUAF's contributing listeners. Support from individual listeners in our community helps pay for the cost of producing and distributing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and other digital media produced by KUAF, you can make a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
This is 91.3 KUAF, a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. Later today on 91.3 on All Things Considered, recordings of police radio dispatches just after the shooting in Parkland, Florida last month show some frustration and some problems with transmitting information. That's because the system was overwhelmed. Concerns about police radios, as well as the day's news on All Things Considered. This afternoon from 3 to 6 on 91.3. This is Ozarks at Large for Monday, March 12th, 2018. I'm Kyle Kellums. Good afternoon at 6 minutes after noon. Tonight, the University of Arkansas will conduct a town hall meeting in response to a racially offensive social media post made last month. The town hall, from 7 to 9 tonight in Hillside Auditorium, will discuss the post that include a white student in blackface. A panel, including Chancellor Joseph Steinmetz, Yvette Murphy Irby, the university's Vice Provost for Diversity and Inclusion, and Charles Robinson, Vice Chancellor for Student Affairs, will take part in the town hall. Tonight's meeting is open to the entire campus community. Ahead on this afternoon's Ozarks, we use today as a launching pad to tell you what's happening around here before, during, and after next week's spring break. Becca Martin-Brown, features editor for the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, gives us the best bets for the rest of March. First this afternoon, tariffs. An imposed net of tariffs on steel and aluminum is keeping the attention of business officials around the world and in Arkansas. This weekend, Mervyn Jebaraj, director for the Center for Business and Economic Research at the Sam M. Walton College of Business at the U of A, told Talk Business and Politics there are different ways the effects of the tariffs could affect us.
So if you start with the very basic goods, if you're going out on the weekend to enjoy a couple of beers, whether that's your Miller Lite, your Bud Light, or your favorite local craft brew, all of those are made using the same kind of metals. Your canned foods, canned soups, all of that is made using the same kind of metals. So all of those, you're going to expect to see higher manufacturing costs because of these tariffs. And it's a matter of waiting and seeing whether manufacturers push those costs on to consumers, in which case, you know, we recently had moderate tax cuts for most Americans. If those prices go up, you'll see, you know, your tax cut get eaten up by higher commodity, you know, higher prices for the goods that you buy on a daily basis. If the manufacturers don't push those costs on to consumers and try to eat them themselves, then you'll see that eat into the corporate tax reform and the lower tax rates that they were getting.
Jebaraj says there are also concerns construction costs, already rising because of labor shortages, could increase more because of tariffs. Over the weekend, another country was added to the list of nations exempt from the president's tariffs on imports of steel and aluminum. Canada, Mexico, and now Australia will be exempt from the 25% tariff on steel and the 10% tariff on aluminum for the time being. So what does all of this mean for Arkansas? Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek spoke with Melvin Torres to find out. Torres is the director of Western Hemisphere Trade at the Arkansas World Trade Center in Rogers. Their conversation took place Friday afternoon at the Trade Center.
So the tariffs that were announced on Thursday, there's a lot of reaction from both sides, from people against it and for them. I mean, is it really as bad of a thing or as good of a thing as people say it is?
For the state of Arkansas, our largest export and production is agriculture. Of course, aerospace and defense is up there, and we build Falcon Jet, and we do have an aerospace and defense industry here. And aluminum is not something still that is it's actually putting together here. So the airplane already comes built in certain ways, so it may not impact the assembly of those airplanes. But the potentially the bigger issue, right, or the idea some say, is that In one end, we have the administration and some people saying that we have to protect certain industries as a matter of national security, and the increase in the cost of those items will not be significant. And then on the other hand, we have then some concerns from other groups that say, okay, if we impose a tariff on a country, what are they going to do? So that's the big question. Are they going to then impose a tariff on poultry or rice? And then if they do, then what are we going to do? So we don't know. We don't know the countries that are going to be affected. We don't know how it's going to affect Arkansas, because we don't even know the industries that would be in this process, even if this process happens, right? But we're hoping that that's not the case. This has not been the first time that national security has been invoked to impose tariffs. It has been done before by President Bush, and it's not something that can lead to a trade war. But the reason that it hasn't been done since is because we have been working on a free trade and a free world economy where we have been doing well. In Arkansas, we can, as an example, NAFTA, we export close to twice as much as what we import from both Canada and Mexico. So that trade agreement works for us. Agriculture is a big portion of it.
Can you just sort of break down the numbers for me? I know the World Trade Center got some new numbers.
Exports from Arkansas to both Canada and Mexico constitute 1/3 of the total exports for Arkansas. So obviously, those two countries out of 191 countries that we export to are a significant amount. And it grew from 2016 to 2017 by 14%. So that relationship continues to grow. The exports to both countries continue to grow. Exports from Arkansas to Mexico have increased by 700% since NAFTA was implemented. It actually increased by 24% year over year versus the 14% overall. So you can tell that Mexico is growing at a faster pace than Canada, and it is growing at about 3.5 to 3.6 times faster than exports to any other country that we sell to.
In all this, while some businesses in Arkansas, I'm sure, have issues with NAFTA, overall NAFTA has been pretty beneficial to Arkansas. So as these negotiations continue, I'm guessing you're watching pretty closely whether those tariffs do get imposed on those two countries.
They are certainly the largest, our largest customers, and I'm certainly glad that they're not included. And from the beginning, it was discussed and stated by the president that they were not included in the list of countries that will have the tariffs for now. There, of course, there is concern because of the word "for now," and we want to make sure that Mexico and Canada are continue. We continue this the NAFTA process. In the case of Arkansas, it works. Obviously, we export almost twice as much as what we import from them, and we send on a large scale our agriculture products to them. We want to make sure that that relationship is kept not untouched, because we do know that NAFTA needs to be modernized. E-commerce was not part of NAFTA because it didn't exist back then. 3D printing that we do in Arkansas, certainly. So those technological advances that are part of an industry that's growing in Arkansas, absolutely, I do believe they need to, and we strongly believe that they need to be included, because they need to be updated, modernized. We just need to make sure that for Arkansas, it's not changed too much, because it's working right now as it is.
Both countries have come out and said, you know, we're going to renegotiate NAFTA. We're in that process right now, but we don't want these tariffs to be brought in to the conversation. Is that something that's going to be possible, or are these two issues going to be looked at together?
That is a good question. I as of now, the intent seemed to be part of the renegotiation from what the president had communicated yesterday, and that was the reason why he started by excluding them from the tariffs, because he does have 15 days to impose the tariffs on the different countries. So instead of waiting those 15 days and having that uncertainty during the negotiation process, he immediately said that Canada and Mexico would be excluded from the tariffs immediately for now. So that and his comment at the end of the communication that that he believes that the negotiations can be accomplished, that brings a lot of at least more a little more security that we are going to stay within the NAFTA agreement for now, and that is something that we have to see how Mexico and Canada's request is now discussed within the administration, and how they respond to it.
So you did mention that Arkansas exports more to Canada and Mexico than it imports. So I imagine that makes us invested in not imposing tariffs on those two countries, because it could impact us significantly if they were to retaliate, for example, on our exports, when Arkansas exports so much.
Absolutely. We want to make sure that our exports are not included in any type of retaliation if that was to happen with Canada, Mexico, or any other country that we do business with. But for now, until we know the more about the other countries, we don't know what industries are going to be impacted, if any, for Arkansas. But I think that, yeah, it brings some serenity to the process in the negotiation between Canada, Mexico, and the United States. And although I understand that they are wanting to keep the steel and aluminum discussion outside the negotiation process, I do still think that it brings peace to the process, and it helps at least to make sure that there is we don't start having like you're saying, retaliations.
And where are the NAFTA negotiations right now? I know the World Trade Center has had some input before some committees, but overall, where does it stand?
We just had one round of negotiations in Mexico. The negotiation process is going to take longer than what we expect, and that's because there are going to be in between negotiations, we're going to have in Mexico presidential elections. So the president who's winning on the polls has indicated that sometimes in some news articles that he even wants to be the one who negotiates in the table. So obviously he is a business gentleman who wants to be involved in the process, and he also wants to make sure that business people in Mexico are inputting and are part of it. So it's going to take a longer time because potentially the negotiator that is doing it right now for Mexico will change, and not necessarily the president of Mexico, but whoever he assigns, if that is the case. And that type of situation, of course, is going to bring some slowdown to the process.
Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
That was Melvin Torres, Director of Western Hemisphere Trade at the Arkansas World Trade Center, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek. The European Union has threatened to retaliate by putting its own tariffs on bourbon, motorcycles, and blue jeans. Other than that, if a country wants to fight the new U.S. tariffs, it can file a complaint with the World Trade Organization, which could take as long as 18 months to settle the dispute. Last week, President Trump told steel and aluminum executives the WTO has been a disaster for the U.S.
American folk singer-songwriter Ray LaMontagne will bring his Part of the Light tour with special guest Nico Case to the Walmart Amp in Rogers Tuesday, June 12th. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Music begins at 7:30. Tickets at amptickets.com or 443-5600. The Alma Performing Arts Center presents Driving Miss Daisy this Thursday, March 15th at 7:30 p.m. Television stars Clarence Gilliard and Cherie J. Wilson star in this timeless piece about diversity, friendship, and understanding. Tickets and information at almapac.org. or 632-2129.
Consult your nearest calendar, and it will tell you it's the very last days of winter. But we know here in the Ozarks, it feels more like the very earliest days of spring. And still to come on this Monday edition of Ozarks at Large, early spring and the scent of skunk can be in the air, a sure sign of wild romance.
If the female is not receptive to the male, she actually sprays him.
That stinky report later on today's Ozarks at Large.
You don't listen to 91.3 to have your opinions confirmed. You turn to us for thought-provoking conversations from people on all sides of the issues. Plenty of other media outlets will give you a partisan echo chamber, but not KUAF. We're not afraid of complicated issues, strong opinions, or heated debates. In fact, we jump into those conversations because we know they help you learn, and we know you're open to hearing something that might challenge your own beliefs. These conversations happen here thanks to the financial support of our listeners. Contribute now to support radio that doesn't shy away from difficult topics or differing opinions. Give online at supportkuaf.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. New numbers from the United States Bureau of Labor Statistics indicates Arkansas continues to add jobs, but wages are stagnant. Talk Business and Politics reports weekly pay actually fell in Arkansas 0.6% in the third quarter of 2017 when compared to the same time the previous year. From September to September 2016 to 2017, average wages of $788 per week in Arkansas represented the third decline since first quarter 2016. Arkansas ranks 49th in take-home pay, only ahead of Mississippi. The five companies selected to cultivate medical marijuana in Arkansas should soon be able to set up shop and begin growing. Scott Hardin is a spokesman for the State Department of Finance and Administration. Since the top companies were named last week by the Arkansas Medical Marijuana Commission, he says all have met the required obligations.
Over the past week, we've been receiving the licensing fees from the companies. We've been receiving the performance bonds. And as of this morning, all five companies have paid. So meaning at the meeting next week, those licenses will be, or scores will be ratified and licenses will be issued.
The next step for the commission will be to go through applications for entities that have applied for the 227 dispensary licenses. They'll go through the same scoring process as growers, and Hardin says those retailers will likely be named in May or June. At this pace, he says, it's looking hopeful that the original timeline will be met, which is to provide medical marijuana to those with qualifying conditions by the end of this calendar year. The Arkansas legislature's fiscal session is over. It ended last week. However, a special session is scheduled to begin tomorrow at the state capitol. Consideration of highway funding is expected to be on the agenda, as is legislation to address problems with pharmacy benefit managers, or PMBs, that have developed since the first of the year. Many pharmacists in the state say they are losing money because of policies regarding Arkansas Blue Cross and Blue Shield contracting with CVS Caremark as its pharmacy benefit manager. Other legislative matters can be introduced by lawmakers during the session. The University of Arkansas women's indoor track and field team is bringing home the runner-up trophy from the weekend's NCAA championships in College Station, Texas. Georgia won the national title with 61 points. Arkansas finished second with 49 points. The University of Arkansas Razorback men's indoor track and field team finished 13th this weekend. The Arkansas basketball team will play Friday in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Arkansas received a 7 seed last night and will face a 10 seed Butler Friday afternoon in Detroit. The winner of Friday's game faces the winner of Purdue Cal State Fullerton on Sunday. And the basketball year is over for the University of Arkansas Fort Smith teams. The women lost Friday and the men Saturday in their first round games in the NCAA Division II tournament. Next week, spring break, the latest incarnation of the spirit of giving takes form in Mexico. The next house build, organized by Olivia's Basket, a Northwest Arkansas nonprofit, will include nearly two dozen women from here and elsewhere. Olivia's Basket uses donations and physical labor from volunteers to build homes for people who otherwise wouldn't have them in Mexico and Honduras. Jane Ray, one of the founders of Olivia's Basket, says potential new homeowners in Mexico and Honduras are selected based on criteria and need. Olivia's Basket is named for Jane's daughter, who died 8 years ago after being hit by a car in Fayetteville. Recently, Jane came to the Furman Garner studio to talk to us about the next build, along with two women who will be helping build the home near Ensenada, Mexico, Rebecca Rose Smith and Jordan River Cook. Both of the young women are seniors at Fayetteville High School, and both were best friends of Olivia. Jane Ray says this build will be constructed by an all-woman crew.
We'll have 21 women coming from the Portland area and the Fayetteville, Arkansas area. Then we have seven more women who'll be joining us in the Ensenada, Mexico area.
Jordan, you've been part of a build before.
Mm-hmm.
This will be your fourth?
Yes.
What's it like?
It's dusty. But it's just awesome. Like, all the people there and the families and... I'm so excited for it to be all ladies. Ah, ladies are awesome.
Rebecca, this will be your first.
Yes.
So what do you expect? Have you been able to, in your mind's eye, kind of think what it will look like?
I've been thinking about this a lot, actually, because all that I really know is that when I get there, there's going to be a concrete slab and a bunch of building materials. And I've been thinking a lot about what it's going to be like to meet a family that, you know, doesn't have anything right now, and when we leave them, they're going to have a home that we helped build, that we helped to put into their lives, and how they're going to be changed by that. And I think I'm very excited for that.
How many days, Jane?
Takes 2 days to build. We'll get to the build site, let's say 8 o'clock, 8:30 on Thursday morning. By Friday afternoon, about 4 o'clock, we'll be handing over the keys to that house, to this family, and that night they'll get to sleep in their brand new house, on a cement floor, a roof that doesn't leak, a door that locks, brand new beds, bedding, tables, chairs, small stove, windows, curtains on the windows. It is fully outfitted.
In 2 days?
Yes. It will happen.
It always does.
It always does. It will absolutely happen.
Was the fourth time any less surprising, Jordan, than the third time any less surprising than the first time for you? that it happens this quickly?
No. The first time it was like, whoa, that just happened. I wasn't expecting that. And then, like, every other time it's just been like, yeah, we can do this. We got this. The first day you're kind of like, ah, there's no way it's going to get done. And then by the second day, like, when you get there, you're like, oh, there are walls. Okay. All right. It can happen.
How much experience? Are there some people who've never built a home and then some people who have? Okay, Rebecca, you say you've never built a home.
Yes.
Which I don't think is anything to be ashamed of when you're 17 or 18 years old. I mean,
we have had families bring 5 of their children. Youngest would be 6 years old, and he may not have picked up a hammer. He did by the end of it. You don't have to have ever picked up a hammer before, and you can come on these builds, and you will absolutely play an important part in it. There will always be something that you can do and add to it.
How many home builds have you been?
17.
17. What's different for you now than that first one?
We're building for a single mom. Her name is Sophia. She has an 11-year-old daughter, Alessandra, and her son, Jorge. Her income per week is approximately $30. She would never, ever be able to afford to have a home of her own, ever. And also, we don't know how long she's waited for this opportunity. There are certain criteria that go into play in order to be accepted, but the truth is she may have been waiting for years. And for us to be the group that builds for this woman, it's a privilege, an absolute privilege.
How do you and the clients, the future homeowners, how do you match up?
They apply with an organization. And some of the criteria I consider very important. One, it's always a family. Two, they're either in process of purchasing the land or they own the land, which means they're not going to lose it. And then there's financial things that come into consideration, as well as how large the family is, if there are disabilities within the family. I love that it's not quite a checklist, that they look at each one individually and then seem to prioritize from there.
These dates are spring break, right?
Mm-hmm. Thank goodness.
I mean, there are a lot of different things you can do on spring break of your senior year, not the least of which is sleep in, binge watch television.
That's a normal day.
But you know what I'm getting at? I mean, you could have done something else on spring break. What led you to make this decision?
I knew that Jane needed her girls with her, and she asked us, and of course I wasn't going to, like, say no to Jane Ray. She's so great. I'd do anything for her.
Rebecca, what led you to do this for the first time on spring break?
Well, I've been trying to build a house with Olivia's basket forever. All 17 of the houses I wanted to help build. And, you know, scheduling, all the things that conflict, everything happened. And I couldn't build any of them. And then Jane approached me about one on spring break that was just girls. And I cannot think of a better way to spend my spring break than surrounded by fellowship with some ladies, helping out some people, having a good time, eating good tacos.
The tacos.
No, I'll tell you a secret. I planned this around Becca and Jordan. I knew that if there was any time during the year that you even might be available, it would be your spring break. And so I approached them. I approached, and the dates were free, and it is working out. There are so many little pieces that come together, but the truth was the date was hyper important for me. So just so you know, I planned this for you.
You've been on Ozarks at Large before, but not everyone listening now listened then. The origin of this whole program?
Olivia Ray would be 18 years old now. When she was 10 years old, at a crosswalk in front of Baum Stadium, she was hit by a car driven by a University of Arkansas student. A few hours later, she passed away in the hospital when we were all there with her. The community, this Northwest Arkansas community, surrounded themselves around our family. I just have to tell you that. And in response to that, people wanted to contribute, and they wanted to do something. This is very real. And we had an opportunity come at us to build a house in honor of Olivia. And so the things and the people contributed, we took that and we funneled it into Olivia's basket. And after building one home just months after her accident. We built another one 2 months later, and then two more not too long after that. Did we ever think that it would continue to this day? Everyone is like such a personal struggle for us, but then it's a release because you see, how can you not do this? I've never, ever had to prove to somebody, why would you build a house for a family that's never had a roof that doesn't leak or they're living in a car with their children? That's not the point. I don't ever have to say that's a hard thing. So one of the reasons is we love doing it in honor of Olivia, but we never go alone. We've had hundreds and hundreds of people join us from other parts of the world. And they just, everybody picks up a hammer and it becomes a corporation, just this lovely corporate thing to do.
Jordan, you've been on three of these. Let me ask you, what is the highlight for you in the abstract? And then what is the highlight for you in the physical? Like, what part of the actual building do you like to do? But first I'd like to know, what emotionally is a highlight for you?
All the love when you walk onto the build, like from the first moment you step on, and the mom, like, just, there's always a translator, so like, I can't speak Spanish, so I don't ever know what she's actually saying, but the translator always says like how thankful she is and how much like we mean to her, and like we haven't even met her like personally yet, and then getting to know the family, and like just we become part of them, their lives, and part of their family. Like, so many families that I've only met for 2 days have told me, like, if I'm ever back in Mexico, hey, you should come on over because we'd love to have you. And I'm like, you don't even know who I am, but I love you guys. And just the physical aspect that I love is, I don't know if it's physical, but, like, the teamwork. And I love painting, so I'm usually painting. And hammering's pretty fun. I should get on the roof this year. I haven't been on the roof yet, so we'll see how that is.
Jane, how about you? What are you physically, I mean, is there hammering, sawing, measuring? Is there something?
Everything that you just said, and then multiply that by 100. We paint every single square inch of that structure, and we pick up all those boards, and we carry them, let them dry in the sun, and then they ultimately get put on the house. The outside has siding on it. Inside is drywalled, and we seam it with these lovely little one-inch strips of wood, and so that's framed out on the inside. It's a lovely house by the end, and we absolutely try our best to make it our best. Everyone.
No one should be surprised or flabbergasted that a team of women can build a house. I'm not. I mean, but why decide? What led you to say, okay, let's do one that's only women?
I've wanted to do this for 5 years. It's a little self-serving. I knew so many women that I could invite. I exploded onto a page of all the women that I knew who might want to do this, and it was over 80. So yes, you're laughing, but it's true. And I honed it down, and every single person that I asked right off said yes, which was such an encouragement. So we have 21 coming. That's actually a lot. We usually start with about 15 or 17, but I couldn't say no sometimes.
And you have this group, more than a half dozen coming from Oregon?
Four people coming from Oregon, four women specifically. All of them, three of them have built with us before. I will tell you this. I knew I needed a core group that had done this before, and then we can bring in a whole bunch of people that hadn't, and it would still be very, very strong. I'm telling you, if you've never picked up a hammer, you can still build a house.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Jane Ray, along with other members of her family, is a founder of Olivia's Basket, a Northwest Arkansas-based group that builds homes for families in Mexico and Honduras. We also heard from Jordan River Cook and Rebecca Rose Smith, seniors at Fayetteville High School, who will be helping build the next home near Ensenada, Mexico, next week, spring break. You can read about the family that will be moving into that brand new home and learn more about future home builds at oliviasbasket.org.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. The Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, the region's daily newspaper, offers local news where we live, play, and work in Benton and Washington counties. It's one newspaper for one region. The Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, online at NWADG.com.
This is Ozarks at Large for Monday, March 12th, 2018. It's not spring break yet, but Becca, for you and me and our conversations, it kind of is spring break eve.
It is, because I'm going to go away.
You're going to be gone this week.
And then I'm not going to be back because you're going to be gone for spring break.
Right, and we'll have some archives, some of our favorite things from the past 28 years. So you and I are not going to talk again until almost the end of March.
And so I have the rest of March for you.
Okay.
We do this calendar on the first Sunday of every month in What's Up called Best Bets. And it looks forward to the month of things that we really think you need to know about. All right, Viet Gong. Going on at Theater Squared. It was workshopped here. It's been seen in New York. It's written about the immigration of Vietnamese to Fort Chaffee by the child of a couple of immigrants. And it's an amazing, it's going to be an amazing show. It continues Wednesday through Sunday through April 8th at Theater Squared in Fayetteville. We've got Driving Miss Daisy out the ears. Because on the 15th, which is Wednesday, right?
15th is Thursday.
The national tour of Driving Miss Daisy is stopping at the Alma Performing Arts Center for one show only and includes Clarence Gilyard and Sherry Wilson from Walker, Texas Ranger.
That's why I know that name.
7:30, tickets are $25 and up. Then you can flip around and go to the Arts Center of the Ozarks over the weekend and see Driving Miss Daisy. With our own local celebrity, Vicki Hilliard. Friday, Saturday, and matinee on Sunday at ACO. That's the final weekend. Also on Saturday, it's the annual model train show hosted by the Sugar Creek Model Railroad and Historical Society. How fun is that?
Oh, it's a lot of fun to just go walk around.
Happens from 9 to 4 on Saturday at Embassy Suites in Rogers. It's $8 to get in, but you get a dollar off with donation of non-perishable food item.
And it's... You can buy things if you're doing this sort of thing.
Yeah.
There are dealers and vendors
and setups of
ideas.
Train setups and all sorts of coolness. And then on the 24th, it's called Art with an Altitude. It's the Kite Festival at Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge near Eureka Springs. That happens from 9 to 6. It's free to get in. If you want to go in and see the cats, you got to pay admission for that. Also on March 24th, they're doing something cool. That's hosted by the Art Experience. It's called a puppet slam. It's contemporary short-form puppet theater.
Where is this again?
For an adult audience. Mm-hmm. It's happening at the Phoenix Gallery at 16 West Center Street, the new Phoenix Gallery. It's a fundraiser for the Art Experience.
Okay.
Who has done the giant puppets in the New Year's parade and stuff
for
years.
Art therapy and all sorts of cool things.
$10 to get in. You can find out more by calling 442-0557. On the 25th, Clayton Conversations with filmmaker and Fort Smith native Philip Person at 1:30 at the Clayton House Museum.
Call now. Reserve now. These sell out.
They don't have enough seats for the number of people this has turned into. 783-3000. And then on March the 30th, we open Living on Love at Arkansas Public Theater in Rogers. This is a farce about an opera diva who discovers her larger-than-life maestro husband has become enamored with his biographer.
Oh.
And so, of course, she has to get even with him, and it'll be really funny. And then March the 31st, an evening with Peter Yarrow.
From Peter, Paul, and Mary.
And that'll get you through the end of the month.
All right. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Happy first day of spring. Happy whatever else I'm missing. We'll talk to you at the end of the month. Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. The surprise winner of this year's Pritzker Prize for Architecture is a 90-year-old architect from India who once worked with Le Corbusier and whose only buildings are in India. We'll talk with Pritzker Prize winner Balkrishna Doshi about his life and work. That's next time on Here and Now.
It's ahead from 1 to 3 on 91.3. In very early spring in the Ozarks, certain woodland and urban environments become permeated with a certain perfume. As Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, the scent is a sign that skunk mating season is underway.
Mount Sequoia near downtown Fayetteville is prime skunk habitat, and this morning we meet in Sequoia Woods with Kimberly Smith, a distinguished professor of biological sciences at the University of Arkansas. He's expert on birds, forest insects, and black bears. He says we have two types of skunks in Arkansas. First, the common striped skunk, which are black and white mammals the size of house cats.
The amount of white can vary considerably. Some skunks have almost no white, and some skunks are almost entirely white.
The second skunk, not common at all, is spotted.
The Game and Fish Commission has recently funded a study, and they have found spotted skunks in the Ouachitas, but they have yet to find any in the Ozarks.
Skunks are nocturnal and solitary, but come early spring, they get busy.
During the breeding season, it's a polygynous breeding situation where a male tries to mate with as many females as possible. And right now is the breeding season. They breed in February and March here in Northwest Arkansas. And the young will be born in April and May. The males try to court the females. The females have to come into what's called estrus, where they are receptive to the male. And so if the female is not receptive to the male, she actually sprays him.
Pregnant skunks give birth to 4 to 7 kits on the Ozarks in April and May in their dens, dirt burrows built beneath houses and forests.
If you actually get the chance to see a female with her young, it's incredibly cute. The young follow her single file as she goes along foraging. So you don't get to see that very often because it happens at night.
Skunks are cute, but humans avoid them because of their scent contained in glands beneath their tails, aided by multiple warning stripes.
That is incredibly sensitive to human sense of smell. Humans can detect the skunk smell in parts per billion. So it's a really powerful defense, but the skunks are reluctant to spray, so they have a whole bunch of displays that they do to tell you that they're thinking about letting go, and it takes them about a week to replenish the oils, and so they typically the only time that they would use this is if they were really in a situation where there just was no alternative. And of course, they also are thought to have very poor eyesight. They have very good hearing and very good sense of smell, but they're thought to have very poor eyesight. And so that's, they think, is one reason that they are such a common roadkill, is that they really can't see the cars coming. And, of course, when they do get hit, then they do release their scent.
Skunks are mainly carnivorous, but also enjoy roots and berries, grasshoppers, spiders, grubs, and earthworms. But in turn, skunks are prey for great horned owls.
Birds have a very poor sense of smell, so the owls will pick them. And then the spotted skunk is quite a bit smaller. It's probably about half the size of the striped skunk. It's a relatively small animal.
Striped skunks are plentiful, but as mentioned earlier, Arkansas Game and Fish Commission is asking citizens to report any sightings of woodland spotted skunks, which are increasingly rare in Arkansas, Smith says. Spotted skunks have a distinct behavior when disturbed, which has gone viral on videos. They do handstands, or more like paw stands.
Spotted skunk has to get up on its front feet in order to spray. And so they have this sort of a dance that they do, trying to get up on their front feet and stick their tails straight up in the air before they're going to spray. So it's quite a expressive display.
Striped skunks also give fair warning, stomping their little paws, hissing and flaring their tail when disturbed. And beware, skunks are sharpshooters, able to spray accurately up to 12 feet. And the word skunk originates with the Algonquin tribe, spelled S-Q-U-U-N-C-K, which basically means a stinky fox-like creature. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs.
I've been a rascal from the day I was born. Oh, what a good life I've had.
James Edward Brown was born April 1st, 1934, to Floyd and Bertie Brown in Sparkman in Dallas County. Floyd was a farmer and log trucker. The family moved to Pine Bluff when the children were still small. With his two sisters, Maxine and Bonnie, Jim Ed formed the singing group The Browns, and the trio scored early with their song Looking Back to Sea in 1954 on Faber Records of California. Jim Ed Brown, called J.E. by family, was barely out of his teens. Faber Records had launched only the year before by Faber Robeson, born 1911 in BB. He promoted the early careers of Jim Reeves and Johnny Horton, as well as fellow Arkansasers Floyd Kramer and the Browns. He died in 1986. Maxine Brown describes the relationship between the Browns and White County native Robeson in her 2005 autobiography in the chapters We Get Screwed and Screwed Again.
Papa Top again. I've just got time for one more round.
The Browns signed to RCA in 1956, improving their fortunes. Jim Ed Brown was drafted the next year, but was eventually transferred to the Pine Bluff Arsenal, close to family. Jim Ed and his sisters had their biggest hit, The Three Bells, in 1959. The Browns became members of the Grand Ole Opry in 1963, and Jim Ed dabbled in some solo work. So by the mid-1960s, when the Browns split up so Bonnie and Maxine could raise families, Jim Ed Brown was ready to go out on his own. The third single from Jim Ed Brown's solo album, Papa Top, heard here, became a hit in the summer of 1967, playing off the new novelty of pull-tab beer cans. It hit number three and became Jim Ed's biggest solo hit and his signature song. Alan Jackson's version of the song in 1999 also hit top 10 country.
Gasping for air, I come up from your lips, amazed by the beauty at my fingertips, awed by the softness and warmth of your touch. Bottle, bottle, why do I love you so much? You give me the strength to go on day to day.
In fact, beginning with the subject matter, an uncluttered production of Papa Top, one could make a case for Jim Ed Brown being a forgotten early practitioner of outlaw country music. Some of his other song titles include other drinking songs like Bottle, Bottle, heard here, and cheating songs, especially with Brown's mid-1970s duet partner, Helen Cornelius.
Doggone my soul, how I love them old songs. They were a comfort to me when I was alone.
Over his long career, Jim Ed Brown charted more than 50 singles. He hosted TV's You Can Be a Star talent show and the program Nashville on the Road. Perhaps most recognizably, Brown was national spokesman for Dollar General stores beginning in the 1970s, appearing on many TV commercials and with his autographed photo adorning the walls of many of the chain stores.
When I hear that double eagle guitar, it makes me think how trouble-free girls we are. There was a time I spent my nights in a bar, playing that old jukebox until the honky-tonky locked up.
In 2015, the Browns were inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame, and Jim Ed released In Style Again, his first new studio album in 30 years. It was his last. Jim Ed Brown of Sparklin and Pine Bluff died June 11, 2015, in Franklin, Tennessee, and is buried in Nashville. Here in its entirety is Jim Ed Brown of Dallas and Jefferson Counties with Papa Top from 1967.
Papa Top again. I've just got time for one more round. Set 'em up, my friend. Then I'll be gone and you can let some other fool sit down. I'd like for you to listen to a joke I heard today from a woman who said she was through and calmly walked away. I tried to smile and in a while, but it fell so out of place. Did you ever hear of a clown with teardrops streaming down his face? Papa Top again. I've just got time for one more round. Set 'em up, my friend. Then I'll be gone and you can let some other fool sit down. Home to me is misery, and here I'm wasting time. 'Cause a row of fools on a row of stools is not what's on my mind. But then you see, her leaving me is not what I prefer. So it's either here drinking beer or home remembering her. Papa Top again. I've just got time for one more round. Another one, my friend. And I'll be gone and you can let some other fool sit down.
Papa Top from 1967. It's another song of Arkansas. From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs.
Arkansongs is a production of Experiment Station Studios. Producer is Keith Merks. Arkansongs, since 1998.
And on tomorrow's edition of Ozarks at Large, China, the world's largest importer of raw recycled materials, is placing new restrictions on global imports, affecting U.S. recycling sectors, including Arkansas's.
The Chinese policy, there is some good that can come out of that.
That report tomorrow on Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 on 91.3 KUAF, and then later available at KUAF.com, OzarksAtLarge.com, and we're a free podcast through iTunes and Stitcher.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation,
a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Red Star. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks for spending part of your Monday with us. You can do the same on Tuesday if you'd like. We'll be back with brand new editions of our show at noon and 7 p.m. The League of Women Voters of Washington County will hold a panel discussion later this week, a panel discussion including local experts to discuss the enormity and complexity of the region's homeless population. This forum, which I'm honored to say that I will moderate, will take place Thursday night, beginning at 6 at Genesis Church. That's near the intersection of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and South School Avenue in Fayetteville. There is a reception prior to the event beginning at 5. If you'd like to know more about this Thursday night event, you can search League of Women Voters of Washington County, Arkansas in Google or on Facebook. Don't forget, you can find out much more about us and listen to past editions of our show at OzarksAtLarge.com and KUAF.com. Thanks so much for your support of Ozarks at Large.